All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the family again, Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to be, remember, 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago on Sunday, we said that through the month of February, we're going to take five messages and look at the book of Proverbs in relation to our families, the book of Proverbs in relation to our families. So tonight is going to be directed a lot towards the teenagers. On the Sunday morning, we looked at just some general principles on how to build a godly home. And then on Sunday night, we looked at the book of Proverbs in relation to husbands and dads. And now we're going to be looking kind of specifically at teens. And then this coming Sunday morning, we'll look at wives. And that'll be at least, we'll go probably to the evening service. We'll go all the way to there. So we'll take a short snack break because there's just so much material to cover. So we'll be able to, we may just go straight through to midnight, do a watch night service just on the ladies there. But on Sunday morning, we'll cover the ladies, mothers, wives, and then Sunday evening, we're going to be covering kind of children, young people again on Sunday night. So this evening, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 1. We'll start. I'm going to read a lengthier passage. We'll be starting in verse 20, go all the way down to verse 33, but we'll read it responsively. So I'll start at verse 20. You read 21. I read 22. Just follow my lead. I'll read with you when you read so that we kind of are together on that. That helps out. So I'll start in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets together. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, most of us know this, and we mentioned this when we started looking at the book of Proverbs in regards to family. The book of Proverbs is written primarily from a father to a son. And we see that in verse 1 of Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And he's writing to his son. We see that in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look and consider some principles this evening, I pray that you'd help as we look and consider these things, that we will be able to understand and apply them to our lives. As always, Lord, do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start out, I read an illustration that I think is applicable. In ancient China, the people desired security from the countries around, from the people, especially from the northern section. So they built the Great China Wall. And it was so high that no one could climb over it, and so thick that no one could break it down. So they settled back to enjoy their country. However, during the first 100 years that the wall was built, China was invaded 3 times. You say, well, wait a minute. They built this wall. No one could climb over it. It was so wide, no one could really blow it up. So how did they do it? Not once did those enemies break down the wall or climb over the top of it. Each time that they were invaded, they bribed a gatekeeper. Then they marched right through the gates. So the Chinese were so busy relying upon the walls of stone that they forgot to teach integrity to their children. Don't think that just because I'm at some place, that secures your home. It's your job, Dad, it's your job, Mom, and it's your job, young people, to start building and putting things in place so that when the enemy comes, you can resist the enemy. And that's one of the things that we are trying to accomplish. So this evening, I want to look at two thoughts. One, are you a foolish young person? Number two, are you a wise young person? So what is some characteristics of a foolish young person? All right, what are some characteristics of a foolish young person? All right, so let me, you know, actually, I see him right down there. Oh, yeah. If I could get Jake, Clint, John, there's a handout right here, and this will help you in your writing to cheat a little bit. So if you could hand out a bunch of these, maybe you could get a couple others on the wing. If you could give some to some of the guys on the wing and then over here, then we could just go up and down. So you're going to see it's two-sided. On the front side, I have characteristics of an unruly, foolish young person. Then on the back side, I have characteristics of a disciplined, wise young person. And so I'll wait a couple of seconds while we get these out. And I have a few more notes than you. All right, there's not a lot of space there, but hopefully. And if you're saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm an old goat. I'm not young anymore, so what does this have to do with me? Well, you may. It's unbelievable. As I was going through it, there's things in this lesson that applied to me. It's amazing because we use the Bible, all right? And the Bible applies to all ages. So we are specifically looking at us in homes saying, hey, how can we help our young people in our home? But it doesn't matter our age. I want to be a wise person. And so if you don't have young people, it also could be that you're at a stage, you're in the grandparent stage. Well, maybe you can help your grandkids, okay? We always can help somebody else, or it could be that we're helping a family, help a family in some ways. All right, so first, characteristics of an unruly, foolish young person. Number one, a foolish young person does not listen to reproof. That means they're stubborn and rebellious. That's found in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So the opposite of hearing is a scorner. Okay, opposite of somebody that hears what his dad is saying, hears his father's instruction, is a scorner. A scorner, and I don't have time to deal with it. I've taught lessons. I think I've taught it to our men. I have done a whole lesson just on what a scorner is. If you don't know what it is, you need to look that up and study that out. All through the Bible, all through the book of Proverbs, you will read about the scorner. In fact, in Psalm chapter 1, the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to sit in the seat of the scornful. Alright? It's opposite of a good person. A good person delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. But a scornful person, right, is sitting in the seat of the scornful, and he is he has disdain for any parental authority. He doesn't listen to reproof. He's stubborn. He's rebellious. One man put it this way: from hardness of heart and contempt of thy word and commandment, good Lord, deliver me. And a hard heart and a contempt for the word of God is evidence of a scorner. And you do not, as a young person, you're sitting here, you want to be somebody that hates rebellion. And when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I got something for you to consider, you should be opened up and saying, all right, what do you got? It should be always our attitude. It should be at 60 years of age, at 80 years of age, guess what? I don't know everything. So when someone comes to me, what do you got? Let's listen. You got something to teach me? All right, because we come at it, if we come at it as an arrogant know-it-all, you can't be taught. And that is a sign of a foolish person. And we're dealing specifically with a young person, but really, there's older folks that, guess what, nobody can teach you anything, and quite frankly, that the Bible describes you as a fool. All right, so a characteristic of an unruly, foolish young person is that they do not listen to reproof. A scorner heareth not rebuke. And as a young person, we should not be sitting in the seat of the scornful. That means that you are rebellious against authority. Secondly, a characteristic of an unruly, foolish young person is that they disobey and reject discipline. That's found in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now remember, a couple of weeks ago, I tried to help us understand, and I just broke it down simply what knowledge is, what understanding is, and what wisdom is. Okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so we know it all begins with a right understanding of the fear of the Lord. But in the book of Proverbs, we see those three words, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, used over and over. And you see sometimes the word prudence, okay? But knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And what we said is knowledge is our base. There is no understanding and no wisdom without knowledge. Okay, that's our base. But that knowledge is only godly knowledge. So it doesn't matter if I'm filling my head. Right? For instance, in our society, in America today, the idea is that we don't have wise people anymore. And so the idea is give more money and you got to get another degree. But what are they doing? They're filling their head, not with godly knowledge. And so we're pumping out foolish people. Why? Because your base is knowledge. Without knowledge, without a godly knowledge, you will never have understanding. And basically, you get knowledge, understanding, as I studied it, as I looked through the book of Proverbs, understanding, I call them my workhorses. So I get the knowledge, and now I want understanding, so I go to work with the knowledge. And that means I put my knowledge to work. It's application, and that is that understanding. Some of that is experiential, but it's not all experiential. As we said, remember I used a quote from Dr. Monty down in Avon, Indiana, and as he said, experience is not the best teacher. Some of us sitting here, all right, if you have said that to your kids, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I know people that have experienced some bad things, and I'm glad I didn't experience it, because I can watch how their life destroyed, and I can get understanding as I see. All right? So knowledge sometimes can be gained by just watching. And so I put my workhorses, and workhorses sometimes is being aware of what's going on around me. And then through knowledge and understanding, I gain wisdom. But what does a foolish person do? Disobeys, rejects discipline. He who refuses instruction, there in verse 32, he refuses instruction, despiseth his own soul. What does that seem to indicate? Seems to indicate, you notice that it's saying, it switches and it doesn't have, when it's talking about soul, it automatically seems to switch to an eternal kind of thought pattern. Not just the temporal. Because my soul is eternal. My soul is not just here on this earth. It's eternal. So what is it saying? When I am stiff-arming discipline, I affect my eternity. Now, you'd say, well, wait a minute, I'm saved. I understand that. But are you saying that when you stiff-arm discipline, that when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be punishment? I think there is. So that's why when you stiff-arm discipline, what are you doing? You're affecting even the judgment seat of Christ. Because you're going to answer. You're going to answer for every idle word. You're going to answer for the deeds done in your body. And so it is very important that I understand that as a young person, and we instill that into our young people. They listen to reproof. They don't disobey and reject discipline. And so we need a teachable spirit. All right? We need a teachable spirit then. That's what some of this is indicating. When we have a teachable spirit, this is a characteristic of a good young person. But it's also a characteristic of a good, godly man or woman. Approach things. Approach the Word of God not as a know-it-all, but as somebody that doesn't know anything. And say, God, teach me. That is evidence of a good, godly man, woman, and young person. They approach it and they're teachable. What you see with a foolish person, a scorner, all through the book of Proverbs, is they don't listen, but not only do they not listen, they disobey and they reject it. You can come to them and come to them and come to them and they just stiff arm. Learn not to be that way, but to instead be teachable. All right, so then, number three, and we will not get through all these. I'm going to have some of these. You can just finish on your own on the first half because I want to deal with some on the second half. So what is another evidence of a foolish, unruly young person? Not only do they disobey, do not listen, but they speak with disrespect. And look at, they even swear at their parents. You'd say, wait a minute, that's in Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. I mean, I don't know how else to, this would, you would say, well, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I understand that at this time it could mean, it may not necessarily be a cuss word, but in today's vernacular, you know what, basically cussing or that word, it's basically that same idea. It's disrespect. And so this is why I tell young people then, don't ever talk down to your parents. I don't care. Don't ever talk down to your parents. It's not godly. It's not conducive, okay, to your spirit. All it's doing is hindering your progress, and it's showing what's inside in your heart. Don't speak with disrespect. All right? And Proverbs chapter 30, we see that. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse 11. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Look at verse 17. The eye, well, this one, I love this verse. We should post this, I guess, in my house. All right. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. I mean, that one's always very descriptive and very picturesque in my mind. And so you want to mouth off? I don't know. I haven't really seen a raven come and pick some eyeballs out. But it's very descriptive, isn't it? It seems like God's not very happy with somebody that has disrespect. So not only do they speak with disrespect, the next one they slander their parents. I'm not going to dwell long on that. But then look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 24. I thought this was interesting. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. I can't imagine being a thief to your mom and dad, but they take advantage. The idea is that they take advantage of their parents. And what does that mean by taking advantage? All right, that can mean some honor, but it also can mean, in this passage, it's talking about robbing them. It's taking things that don't belong to you. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 7, let's go to there. I'm going to skip down because I want to dwell on the next, and that's the characteristics of a disciplined wise. So in Proverbs chapter 7, this will be the last point on our list there. The rest of them, I would just say, look at some scriptures on your own. Maybe take this in your own family time and work on it. But in Proverbs chapter 7, notice what it says in verse 7, "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." So what's a characteristic of a foolish, unruly young person? He lacks understanding. He's simple. He's simple. All right, what does it mean to be simple? One of the things, all right, remember there's three ideas. There's knowledge, there's understanding, and there's wisdom. As I have read Proverbs, I would say dozens and dozens of times over my life, I try to get young people to read Proverbs and think about it, and maybe in families. To me, at least once a year, I think it's wise to go through the book of Proverbs. But what you'll find is that word simple is there. You know, as I've read the book of Proverbs, what I think it means is that it's a young person with no knowledge. So what are they? Simple. And so guess what one of our jobs is as a church? Guess what we're trying to do? We're trying to impart godly knowledge at every service, at every turn. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have, even now, right, we've worked with a program so that we have basics, okay, for the 7th and 8th graders. A lot of it is teaching doctrine, all right? In the school, we have Bible class where they learn doctrine. We're trying on our end to help you, to give you some tools. But parents, you have got to put in some knowledge. Otherwise, guess what a young person's going to be? Simple. Simple means you're not imparting any knowledge. And then guess what happens? Without knowledge, I don't believe you can get any understanding. And a simple young person, now what I think is a young person can reject it. And then guess what you are? Simple. You're foolish. You're never going to have understanding. So that's some characteristics of an unruly, foolish young person. If you flip to the other side, then let's look then at the last half of our lesson, characteristics of a disciplined, wise young person. And I reworked this, so some of my notes are going to be a little different than yours. I'll try to help you out. The first one, what's a characteristic is that the Lord is with them. I go outside of Proverbs to give us our first verse on that, and that's found in 1 Samuel 3. In 1 Samuel 3, I'll read it in verse 19. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him." So how old was Samuel? Most believe, that he might have been 8 to 12 years old when he was dropped off. Okay, some might believe a little younger, but most believe between 8 and 12 years old. So here's an 8 to 12-year-old that is without mom and dad. And yet, what do we see in verse 19? The Lord was with him. Our young people, what we desire is that at a young age, they understand that God can be with them. If we believe the Bible, and we say we do, when they accept Christ as their Savior, who comes to reside in them? The Holy Spirit. What know you not? Isn't that Corinthians? In Corinthians 6, what does it tell us? We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So what our young people need to understand, a person of the Godhead came to dwell in them. All right, they are set apart now for him. And so if the Holy Spirit is in them, then why not teach them to take advantage of that? Because all that the Holy Spirit is not just for a 25-year-old. According to here in Samuel, I see that Samuel understood a little bit about God and the Lord was with him. So why not teach our young people to be godly and wise so that the Lord is with them? He will help them. How is that evidence? There's a couple things in the book of Proverbs that I think show us evidence that the Lord is with them. Let me give you a couple of them. One is Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. These are, I think, some extra notes under your stuff. But in Proverbs 15 and verse 32, it says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." So, evidence of the Lord being with us, with a young person, means he learns to listen, and in so doing, he gains understanding. So evidence of the Lord being a part of a young person, that means they're learning and gaining understanding. Another evidence, I believe, is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So evidence that the Lord is with a young person is that they're gaining understanding. But then what are they learning to do? To trust in the Lord with everything, in all thy ways, not just in some of the ways. And it is very important that we are teaching our young people that it is all, everything I have belongs to him. It's not just for full-time servants. I'm sorry. All right, Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2 is not written to pastors. It's written to all of us. And he's beseeching us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's to all of us sitting here. Now, all of us may not be getting behind a pulpit, but all of us every day need to be coming to God saying, "God, I am going to trust you with all my heart." And our young people need to learn that. If they learn to trust God with everything, then guess what happens? Then when a tempting job comes and it says, "Hey, you know what? We'll give you a $30,000 raise. But, you know, I know you're married now, but you probably won't, you'll probably be gone every 6 months." As in 4 6 months. You know, you'll make, or maybe you'll make $200,000, but you won't be home. You say, "All right, God, everything is yours. I need your help." You'll gain wisdom. You won't be tempted by covetousness or greed or what the world says. Why? Because the Lord, evidence that the Lord is with a young person is they learn to listen, they're gaining understanding, and they wholeheartedly trust in the Lord in all their ways. In Proverbs chapter 9, and another evidence that the Lord is with a young person is found in verse 9 and 10. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." It seems to indicate that there's a knowledge of the holy, and somehow, as I was looking at this passage, it seems again to indicate that all knowledge, right knowledge, seems to be tied to holiness, to godliness. So the Lord is with a young person, and the evidence of that is when they learn to listen, they're gaining understanding, they're trusting wholeheartedly in God's way, and then, according to Proverbs chapter 9, they're gaining knowledge. They're hungry. You know, it's sad to me that in a place like this, that sometimes young people are like, "Yeah, oh man, it's... when is it ever going to be done?" You're not hungry. You're not hungry. And you know what that means? You got a foolish streak in you. Because the Bible says that you're going to give instruction to a wise man, and he's going to get wiser. A just man, he's going to increase in learning. It's never enough. I can't get enough. I want more. And I want more. And I want. You say you want more of God's word? Yes. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I never could get enough. And that should be our desire of our heart. So what's the characteristic of a disciplined, wise young person? Number one, the Lord is with him. Number two, he pleases God. He pleases God. Now, it seems simple, but in Colossians chapter 3, it's a passage that we know when it says that children obey your parents, and then it finished the phrase. We know it. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So a young person, as he is maturing, this is what he's starting to do. He's starting to do what's right, not because of daddy and mommy, not because of a youth pastor, not because of a pastor, and all of those are there for a purpose and for a reason. But at some part in my maturity, I am doing this because I want to please God. It is because he sees me. He sees what I'm doing. I know I'm going to answer to God. And so because of that, man, I just want to please him. Now, what are some evidences that we want to please God? Well, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. By listening to wise counsel, I'm pleasing God. Why? Because in your own eyes, right, if self is your boss, you're not pleasing God. You're not pleasing God when it's all about self. All right? When I'm wanting to please God, self is out of the way and humility steps in. Humility steps in. So I listen to wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 6. All right, notice what it says here in Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, notice in verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Now notice what happens when I do this. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. All of this seems to indicate that there is a godly mother and father. And what are commandments? We could go to Psalm 119. Okay, Psalm 19. All right, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting my soul. The commandments of the Lord are right. Okay, making wise the simple. Okay, so what are commandments? Commandments, yes, they're handed down by maybe mom and dad, but it seems like in the passage, especially in Proverbs, that a lot of the commandments, when they're talking about those, they are Bible-based. So we're talking about God's word, and that's why I can say what pleases God, listening to wise counsel. And then in this passage, all in verse 20, all the way down, okay, I will please God as a young person when I resist temptation. Now you'd say, wait a minute, that's all in this text? Oh, yeah. Because notice, these commandments, I'm listening to them because I love God's word. And guess what they do? They keep me from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty. Now, so I studied this a little bit and I tried to look up. All right, so it says that these laws, I'm forsaking not. I'm binding them upon my heart and I tie them about my neck. So I looked it up. In Israel, one would hang something around the neck because it was valuable. Or because one wanted others to see it. Oh, and it made me start thinking. So in a godly home, okay, and I've had young people recently tell me this. Man, I don't like all the restrictions.
I don't like all this or that.
You know what you're not doing? Your mom and dad have commandments. You put them around, wear it proudly. Wear it proudly. Because you know what it'll do? It'll keep that strange woman. They'll know what you are. It's a protection for you. It's a protection. Mom and dad are trying to protect you. And when you put it on and say, I may not understand this, but I am going to submit. Why? Because I love God. Because I want God to be with me. And I want to please God. And when that's in my heart, I may not understand it. Why? Because I don't have all understanding. I'm just a youth. But I trust those that God has put in charge of me. And they have given me this to wear around my neck. And it's there to guard me. And when you take that off, you're losing some of your guard. You're losing some of that. And you're opening yourself up. Why? Because, well, I know better. No, you don't. That's what the Bible is saying. Dad and mom are given, and they're giving you commandments, and I'm putting them on my, I'm binding them around my heart, and I'm putting it around me. I'm wearing it. I'm displaying it. Why does it help me? Because then, it's kind of like standards. It's what I tell some of the bus kids. I remember just a couple of months ago, I was talking with one of our bus young people, and they came up here, and they were pretty down. And if you remember, it was a couple of months ago. There was a girl that was killed. It was either in Crown Point, or it was killed by a boyfriend. And it was her good friend. And I said, well, let's learn from it. I said, so, was that a good man? A good young man? He's like, oh, no. Really bad. And I said, and were they doing bad things? Probably late? Yeah. I said, that's why the Bible offers protection. I said, you know, I'm not at bars at 2 a.m., so I normally never get beat up at that time. I'm not. I'm not out there. I don't even have to make up being beat up. All right? Because I'm Baptist. All right? I don't have to make it up and make up some news and write letters to myself. I don't have to do any of that. Because guess what? I'm not out at those times. So just guess what? Good young people are in their homes. At a decent hour. They're not out partying. They're like, oh man, that shouldn't happen. Put it around your neck. Your parents are putting that there and it keeps you. It helps you resist temptation. Then in Proverbs 16, another way that that we please God is Proverbs 16. Look at verse 1. The preparation of the heart of man, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but guess what happens? The Lord weigheth the spirit. So what does God tell us to do? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Look at verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So how do I please God as a young person? I submit to God's plan. I have my own ideas. But what does the Bible say? I commit my works unto Him, and even my thoughts get straightened out. You know, sometimes we're just a little kooky, aren't we? We got some weird ideas. And so I place those in God's hand and say, you know what, God, I don't know what's best for my life. I want to please you. And guess what God says? I'll establish your thoughts. I'll give you a right way. So what are some characteristics of a disciplined, wise young person? The Lord is with them. He pleases God. Then on your own, you're going to have to do some of the rest. He brings his parents joy, gladness. Serves God with the best days of his life. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember, that's written by Solomon also. And what does it say in Ecclesiastes 12:1? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, we sing a song, give of your best to the Master. I'm not supposed to give him my worst. I give him my best. And in youth, you have strength. You have energy. Give it to God. 2 Timothy, that's not in the book of Proverbs, but it tells us that I can come to salvation through wisdom. But then, I can have a successful, long life. We find that in Proverbs 3. Look at what Proverbs 3 says. I'll close with this. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Notice what he tells you. Why? Why keep his commandments? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. All right, the Bible says this in Exodus. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All right, one of the blessings of a godly, disciplined youth is that I have a successful, long life. And this is in God's eyes. All right, it's not saying there are young people that I know of. All right, I've used the illustration for the teenagers of Bill Borden. All right, he died early in his years, but I don't consider his life a waste. Because even to this day, I read his life story, and he was heir to the Borden. If you know the Borden story in the late 1800s, early 1900s, was the Borden milk. Okay, he was heir to that. He was a very brilliant young man, but he gave his life to the Lord. And people were like, "Oh, what are you doing? It's such a waste." And he died. He ended up in Egypt. He was in Cairo learning, and he wanted to reach Muslim people. And he contracted cerebral meningitis and died. Very young, in his 20s. But all the money that was given to him, he gave to missions. They say that there were hundreds of folks that went to the mission field because of him. It's not a waste. Some people look at that, "Oh, look at it." No, God has his reason. So everybody that dies young doesn't mean, "Oh, it must have been a fool." All right. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not only behaving. All right. And young people, like, you know what? Doggone it. I'm just going to behave because I want to live to 80. I ain't dying at 20. So, all right, Mom, I obey you. All right. That's not the only reason I obey, because I don't want to die at 17. All right. And I know. And I sometimes think that even some of my own kids might die early, all right? But obedience, that's why I put it at the end of the list. Put it at the end of the list because it is a promise of God, though. You act wise, and in the home, you're not rebellious. God promises success and a long life. As parents, as we close, my thought, I read a verse, and it was found in, I lost my passage, let me find it, in Isaiah chapter 54, and this is a verse that kind of jumped out at me as I was reading some things on child rearing. It says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." You know, it should be as parents that our desire is to have godly young people. And as young people, your desire, my prayer is to be a godly young person. And so what should you do? Then go to the Bible, and what are some characteristics that I need out of my life? And get them out. And what are some characteristics that I need to put in? Then get them in there. And ask wise people to help you. Ask God to be with you. That there's an evidence that God is with you. I have known young people And it was very evident that God was with them. Not all young people. And part of it is because of what we're talking about right from the book of Proverbs. Let's take the book of Proverbs and study it, learn it. And as whether it's a dad, whether it's a young person, whether it's a mom, whether it's children, whatever we are, let's apply the wisdom of God to our lives. And guess what will happen? We can trust the Lord with all of our heart. And lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. I love that verse. And the reason I love that verse is because He promises that if I submit my way to Him, that He'll help me. That's the greatness